Hello, my name is Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to this podcast. I'm going to be talking about leading in different contexts. The Institute of Leadership and Management recognises five dimensions of leadership: authenticity, vision, achievement, collaboration, and ownership. Leading in different contexts is a component of the dimension of ownership. Context is so important when it comes to leadership. Understanding the culture of the organisation, its business model, its customers or service users, and how they all place different demands on leaders is extremely helpful. Appreciating that one size does not fit all, and where we might have been very successful in one leadership role, replicating that style in another context without appreciating the differences is unlikely to be met with the same success. We demonstrate ownership by understanding and taking account of the internal and external factors that affect how our organisations operate, and then that helps us better understand the direction and the decisions we need to take. I'm going to be looking at how we lead in different contexts from three particular perspectives: the legal entity of the business, the different business models, and then a particular focus on public services leadership. So, what do we mean by context? Well, that really is the business environment. And one of the ways that we describe that, or the tools that we often use for understanding the environment in which our organisation operates, is the SWOT model. The strengths and weaknesses apply to what's inside the organisation, and the opportunities and threats very much external to the organisation. Personal analysis takes that even further by looking more closely at that external environment. What's going on out there politically, economically, sociologically? What are the trends that are impacting the way people are thinking and feeling about work and about consuming our products and services? And what's going on with advances in technology? Are there big disruptors ahead? Are there any legal changes that we need to be aware of? And how is our organisation impacting the environment in the sense of the planet in which we all live? Now to business models. Essentially a high-level plan that describes how an organisation fulfils its purpose and provides value to its customers. One way of understanding not only our existing business model, but any potential new ones that we might like to change to, is to use a business model canvas, which is a shared language for describing, visualising, assessing, and of course changing business models. So we'd look at customer segments. Which are the top three segments providing the most revenue? What is our value proposition? What is it that we are doing to create value for our customers? Which are our top three revenue streams? And even if we do things for free, we must take account of them. What are our channels? How do we communicate with our customers? How do we deliver value? How do we maintain those customer relationships? What are our key activities, our key resources? How do we get the business model done? Who are our key partners? The ones we couldn't do business without, but I don't mean our suppliers. And finally, let's have a look at our costs, the top costs of both our activities and resources. In addition to the more traditional business models, we've recently been hearing a lot about new business models, such as circular models, where perhaps traditional material inputs are replaced with bio-based, renewable or recovered materials, or resource recovery is a focus, recycling waste into secondary raw materials, or extending the product life of products, all focused, as you can hear from how I describe them, on sustainability. Digital business models have also grown in importance, with such giants as Uber, Airbnb and Amazon being very good examples. But whatever your business model, your business has to be an entity existing in its own right. The main differences between legal entities are in the way profits are distributed and where the liability for losses lies. Entities range from sole traders, being liable for all debts of the business, but keeping all the profit. There are different sorts of partnership with different arrangements for profit sharing and liability. And then there are limited companies, either private or public. We've also been hearing more about social enterprises who are formed to deliver social benefits rather than focusing exclusively on profit. Although, as with other entities, there are regulations as to how they can distribute their profits, whatever sort of entity they decide to be. The public sector is the term used to describe the organisations that are owned and operated by the state, the government, and exist to provide services for the citizens. So rather like the voluntary sector, organisations in the public sector don't seek to generate profits, although of course they need sound financial management. There are differences from country to country, but there have been certain trends in the way that public services are managed that have been quite similar across the world. Spending power is falling, we've seen smaller public sector workforces, much greater range of organisational models, much greater use of outsourcing, and a real understanding that technology is absolutely central to how services are going to be delivered in the future. And we've also seen a rise in the expectations of the service users. They're expecting more, better levels of service. We recently conducted some research with the University of Birmingham in the UK, recognising how important digital solutions were going to be in the public services of the future, and the sort of leadership capabilities that would be needed. And this is what our research led us to conclude. Leaders will need to be agile, able to adapt to new and different demands of public service, digitally literate, not experts, but able to manage their own digital specialists. And we all know about the importance of leading virtual teams, teams that are working in different locations, different times, across an extended working day, and also being able to manage change, to design jobs so staff can work in ways that will enable them to feel they are making difference. An exceptional change manager, making change not threatening, part of the everyday of a business, because work should be arranged in a way that staff are able to feel they're making a difference. There's flexibility and they have a degree of autonomy. So much being expected of these leaders, a critically reflective thinker who wants to ask the right questions far more than they want to supply the answers, very important. And a systemic leader understands design thinking, so we'll consult and collaborate with end users rather than attempting to think on their behalf. And as we know at the Institute, what is central to great leadership is to be authentic, to have strong ethics and judgment, to be very self-aware. Thank you for listening. Please go onto our website, www.institutelm.com, and download more resources that will help you become a far more adaptable leader.